Hello, everyone, and welcome to Devotional Life. This is Paul.
And this is Jeannie. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, I hope you're having a good day, too. Now, we are dealing with quite the family, aren't we? A little bit, it kind of makes me nervous going through the family and the things they go through, one thing after another. So let's see, we've got Mom and Dad, Isaac and Rebecca.
Which was a marriage picked from heaven, remember?
That's true.
So you would think it'd be a perfect marriage, but yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I really, as far as I can, we're the only perfect marriage I can think of. And we have the two boys.
Esau and Jacob.
Who
were fighting in the womb and been fighting ever since.
They're still fighting, even to today in the Middle East, the descendants of those two. So, all right. Where are we, Jeannie?
Okay. Well, we left off last episode talking about how Esau, his unforgiveness towards his brother stealing his birthright and taking advantage of him, he thought, which he did.
And he wants to kill his brother.
He wants to kill him. So we talked about how it talks about that unforgiveness can just go so deep in your heart that it turns into murder. And it could happen to any of us. And if nothing else, we're turned over to the tormentors. Jesus said, if you refuse to forgive, the tormentors will come. Yeah. And I know of several people who have held on to unforgiveness, especially family members from the past, and justified with the things that happened to them. But because they didn't give it over to God and release it and do it His way, they're tormented. It has ruined their life. And like you said the last time, the other person who did the wrong could just be going on their merry way. So we talked about that and how it just seemed to build and build and build to the point where the brother murmured that as soon as his dad was gone, he was going to murder his other brother. So Rebecca hears about it. And so we left off with, in a panic, she grabs her son and says, "You got to get out of here because he's going to kill you. And I don't want your dad dying and you dying, and I just can't handle that, so I'm going to send you off to my brother," my brother's house, where she came from. So now we don't, so that we're in Genesis 28, we don't have anything in between that conversation that she had with Jacob, but in chapter 28, verse 28, it picks up with the dad getting involved and calling Jacob over. So, you know, I don't know for sure, but it seems the way the manipulation happens with Rebecca and this family that she probably went to her son Jacob and said, "You got to get on the run," and then because she heard this, and then she probably went over to Isaac and whispered, you know how much trouble Esau's two wives from Canaan have caused us. We have to make sure that Jacob doesn't marry somebody from around here," and maybe never even told Isaac about Esau's vow to kill Jacob. So anyway, so it's as far as we're reading the scripture, chapter 28, verse 28, now it's Isaac's idea to send Jacob away. So we're going to start with that.
By the way, this is their final farewell here on earth. They don't see each other.
Yes, and we talked about that how sad that then he doesn't get to see his mom and dad ever again. So 28, verse 28, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. And we talked about how in Hebrews 11, Isaac is commended for blessing his children. We spent some time on that, about the parents blessing their children. But this one is going to be specific to the one who's going to inherit what God has promised Abraham, and now Isaac, and now it's going to go to Jacob.
Through whom the Messiah
will come through. And it's not because they're perfect people.
That's again, for sure.
Again, we see the mess.
You can pick up on that in a hurry.
And the Lord's not condoning anything they did. Is that right? He's not saying it's okay.
Right.
But I almost see him as scrounging around trying to find something of value to say, I'm going to choose you, so you got to give me something to work with here.
If the Lord would only work with perfect people, nothing would get done.
But we do know that the imperfect people he works with, he puts them straight into training.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
And so Jacob's going to go through a whole lot of training.
He takes us where we're at, but he never leaves us where we're at.
Right. So verse 28, then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said, You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram. Did I say it right?
Pretty darn close. Padan Aram.
To the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. So okay. This would make it like second cousins. Verse 3, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. So that's...
it's a beautiful blessing. Very
specifically and the prophecy that is going to be coming down through that family line.
Right. And it also, you know, honestly, that touches me. Because I picture it, you know, I'm thinking of my own dad, you know, or thinking of your own kids. I'm thinking of my own kids and being able to pray for them. Mm-hmm. Put my hands on them and bless them out loud. May the Lord bless you and, you know, use your life and all the good things that you can really speak into your child's life, a blessing.
And based on God's promises that are always true, we can speak those promises, like this promise was given to Abraham about the line that's going to come from it, inherit the land. But we've got promises that we can speak into our loved ones that are straight from Scripture that we know are true.
That's beautiful, Jeannie.
So verse 5, so Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram. Did I say it right?
No. Yeah, it's good. It's good.
Okay. To Laban, the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. So he's going to see his cousins. Then it says in verse 6, so we're going to get into his traveling out there in the next episode that we do, because it's very interesting. Anybody's heard of Jacob's ladder, we're going to find on his journey out
and
there
and
what happened.
Jacob's pillow. And it wasn't my pillow.
So then Esau... poor guy's been tormented, right? Esau saw that Isaac, his dad, had blessed Jacob and sent him away to take himself a wife. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Now, Esau, he already has two wives, which is totally wrong. And he took them from Canaan, which he wasn't supposed to do. This guy just keeps digging a hole.
Yeah, he does.
Deeper, deeper, deeper.
He's a very natural man.
Right.
He doesn't have a spiritual, doesn't seem like he has a spiritual bone in his body.
No. And it says, and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Also, Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac, nor his mom. There's a verse about Rebekah complaining about those women.
Well, they have lots of, you know, strange worship, false gods, things like that.
No family respect. So Esau, this is his solution, digging a hole more. So Esau went to Ishmael. Remember Ishmael? Ishmael was Isaac's half-brother.
Right.
And Ishmael had been sent away.
Right. From his mom, Hagar.
And so apparently he was an archer or hunting, and he must have had a family. Oh, yeah, mom got him a wife. He has a family.
Yeah.
So they must know where each other's at. So it says, so Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalatha, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaphah, to be his wife in addition to the wives he already had.
My goodness.
Like that was going to please his dad to take his dad's stepbrother.
You're not going to believe this, but we just have 1 minute left.
Okay, so you wrap it up. And then
thank you very much.
I'll start the next one when we're on a journey with Jacob.
Well, I think overall,
what do we get from
it
this?
It tells me that the greatest thing you can have in your Christianity, the greatest thing you can have in your marriage, the greatest thing you can have in your family is love.
Love. And forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, the Bible tells us that love covers a multitude of sins.
Yeah, it does.
And we just talked about the fact that God, you know, has a tough time finding somebody to work with. Well, we're all fallen. And so we need to have a lot of grace towards each other. Mm-hmm. So let's pray. Father, thank you very much for this time. And I hope it's encouragement to those listening. Bless each one, Father, In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.